sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Actually, this time I'm going to start with an actual poem. Well, not all of it. Not all of it, right? It's called Insane by Talon Macy. Just go insane. Just go insane. Just go insane. If I ever try to write a love poem, it would be in vain. Because love is a mystery to me. And sex only numbs the pain. Sometimes I get so lonely, God only knows how I maintain. And if it wasn't for the money, I would just go insane. When I was young, I was afraid to own a gun for fear I would use it on myself. When I became an adult, I used to put my gun up to my head because I'm not the type to cry out for help. Damn. Hey, let it marinate. It's actually, you know, longer than this, but yeah. Just a little sample. Again, name of the poet is Talon Macy, and yeah, it's off his first album. All right, let's start the show. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue to another episode of the Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, Beat Black, a.k.a. Beat Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Before I continue with the show, I want to tell you new listeners that this podcast, warn you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s, watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on April 12, 2023. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeling as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right. Okay. You know, I nearly forgot today was Wednesday. Let me check the time. Not bad, B. Not bad. That intro was 2 minutes. I got to shorten that shit up. Yeah, I nearly forgot today was Wednesday. By that, I mean, Oh, because it was a shorter week. It doesn't mean anything for you, but I nearly forgot to record. I guess I nearly forgot to set up, prepare for the show. That's what I'm trying to say. I guess I'm just trying to say it was a, well, because we had Monday off. Shout out to Dead Jesus. Yeah, we had Monday off, and we're already at Wednesday. But, oh, right. Okay, so second item I have on my... on my agenda. Look, okay, intro. Look, today's going to be a little different, today's episode, right? And what I mean, well, not really different in a sense that it's shorter, there's less item, I'm not using a timer, even though I am keeping an eye on the time. Yeah, it's a little shorter, and what's the part that I'm doing a little different? Oh, yeah, today's episode is what it's called 069 OG Bobby Johnson. And I'm patting myself on the back for not being childish and using and acknowledging the fact that episode 69 and then put something kinky They make the title of today's episode kinky, unless you got a thing for OG Bobby Johnson. Anyways, I'll just explain that today's title, the reason I picked it, will be explained in the final thoughts. And today's poem was picked because, well, it's my podcast. Because I could. And that, and I'll be honest, I should have written it all down. But for some reason, I was, after the last episode on the Monday when I woke up, I was thinking of Talam AC, the poet. And I don't know, a few thoughts went to my mind about if I had a conversation with him. One of the questions I would love to ask, or the million questions I would love to ask, is whether Talam AC today, how different is Talam AC today from the version of Talam AC who came out with that first album, The Wickedest Man in Babylon? I've known him since then, since his first album. I remember buying it. He came from New Jersey, came to Ottawa at Mercury Lounge. I will never forget that moment. And saw him on stage, and I was like jaw dropped. And I bought his CD. Actually, I still have it. Do I? That's not the point. The poem I read is from Insane. Look. That brother's been through a lot. I can tell through his posts, wisdom. He's been through a lot. And I am not going to try to pretend like I know what he's been through or whatever. But that piece, Insane, every time I go through my dark days, like I don't know if I've ever felt the depression, the level of depression. I doubt that I felt the level of depression he's endured. But what I do know is, when I am going through those dark days, I recite that. That poem feels like I connect with it. I'm not saying I relate to it. I'm saying I connect to it. I'm trying not to be that white person who says, yeah, I know what racism is about. Oh my God, when you rap about racism, holy shit, it reminds me of that time where I was stuck at a red light. You know, I'm trying not to be, there's a word for that, but I don't have it. But just to say that, I get the feeling when he wrote that poem, he was in some dark days that I would not be able to comprehend. And, but it makes me wonder if, you know, how different is, you know, is he happier now? Can he relate? Can he connect? Is he still the same? Does he have any similarity to that version of Talam AC? You know, that's what growth is about. But yeah, no, that's a question I would love to ask him. How different are you from that version of Talam AC? With that said, I think I was thinking about his first poem, The Wickedest Man in Babylon. Holy shit, that's supposed to be, okay, you know, this is supposed to be the intro, right? Okay, I forgot. Okay, let me get this show organized. This is supposed to be the intro. Welcome to Shut Up Podcast, yada yada yada. I am grateful that my dishwasher works, and sorry, on the last episode I talked about my dishwasher breaking down during the blackout, and on this episode I'm saying that I got it to work, but I had to jig the circuit breaker. That's what I was supposed to tell you. And I was gonna play the song, I Got a Testimony. As I look back over my life. Alright, okay, alright. I'm not a churchgoer, but I do have an appreciation for gospel music. That's my testimony. Jesus died on the cross so my dishwasher could work. All right, okay, let's get the show going. So following up, this is you'd think this is my first time recording, right? We are going to do news and random thoughts, and it's going to be a short news and random thought in terms of content. Like I might come on, sir. Bat me left, bat my bush. Come on, what's the expression? I might yap a lot. I might do a lot of yapping, but there's like four items on the news and random thoughts. All right, so fuck it. Let's just get started. Here we go. bam, bam. Word. All right. Okay. News and random thoughts. So, yeah. First item on news and random thought is why I was thinking of Talon Macy. All this to say, that's why I read a poem. Well, part of a poem. I read the chorus, actually. And the first two lines of Insane because, I love. I connected to when I was young. I was scared to own a gun, cause I'd use it on myself. And now that I'm an adult, I keep pointing the gun to my head cause I'm not the type to ask for help. And I know that. I know what you mean, man. Pride's a motherfucker. Not just pride, but, you know that clip? You know that clip? You know that thing, what's his name? Chris Rock was saying about how, if you see his special, he talks about how I'm not a victim. I'm like, I know he's trying to, you know, look like he's a tough guy. I took that punch like a man. I ain't no bitch. I ain't no victim. I know that. But that same mindset of I'm not a victim is also I don't need any help from anyone. And then next thing you know, you're a mass shooter or shooting yourself. You know, sometimes I think if I grew up in the States, as you know, and unchecked, especially without any mental health assistance. If I grew up in the state, I high probability I would have been a mass shooter. Whether I'd be good at it is a different story, but I do know. See, that's the thing about being hypersensitive, right? People think that you're all you don't want to make the mistake of believing that everyone who's hypersensitive, like, you know, their heart pumps Kool-Aid, or they're not dangerous. Nah, man. People who are hypersensitive can go 0 to 100 on a perceived disc. And especially if they have that mindset of, I'm not a victim. I ain't no bitch. And then, the emotion gets the best of you. And next thing you know, you've lost your ability to be your sanity and, you snap out and whatever. Je talk du shit ce matin là. This evening, I'm trying to remember what got me thinking of Talon Macy on that Monday morning. It might have been the Nashville shooting. It might have been another shooting, the recent mass shooting, or it might have been a verse in his poem that's not listed in the book I have. The Wickedest Man in Babylon. Or it might be the fact that it started. Hold on, let me check my phone. I remember. Oh, man. Yeah, I should write this shit down. All I remember is listening to one of his poems and telling myself, I should make a show out of it. Okay, yeah. The Wickedest Man in Babylon. Yeah, I saved it on my phone for a reason. I know, whatever. You know, kids, you should write this shit down. But whatever. Here we are today. Read a poem. If you've never heard of Talon Macy, you're welcome. And we'll take it from there. All right. Next item on the agenda is monetize it. This is a thought that just crossed my mind. Monetizing kindness. So after the last episode, yeah, it was after, I found myself on a journey I think I Googled for the first time black highly sensitive people. See, I'm already aware of there's a content creator on Instagram who I've read a lot of her stuff on this podcast. Her name is Elisa Boye, en français c'est Boye, but she's an American, so it's Boyer, whatever. It's Elisa, right? Yeah, anyway. And it just set me on a rabbit hole. From there, I'm like, so okay, at least what she calls herself a mentor for highly sensitive people, and it just set me on the rabbit hole. Black, and I'm realizing like there's a lot of material for highly sensitive people. Like it's okay. There's not a lot, but it's starting. It's well, maybe it's a good. I mean, it's a good thing. It's not mainstream yet. It's what's the word I'm looking for? It's not a popular item. I think I Googled that shit when I did Black HSP and Google gave me the middle finger. And no, there's a black woman. She is, what's her name? Shit. Look, I bookmarked a whole bunch of, that's what I was going to do. that's what makes today's episode a little different is I'm freestyling. I'm going to go through my bookmarks and what I found. So I created a bookmark called HSP Material. And bookmark, right? And I have six items in there. There we go. All right. Six items. Let me open it. Okay. So first one, she's a white woman. Her name is, Her name is Julie. Oh, what the fuck? These white people in their name. I mean, these English folks in their name. Jelen. Right. And she interviews a woman. Her name is being highly sensitive person while black with Sydney James. Yeah, Sydney James. All right. And Sydney James, she has a Facebook page, Instagram page. But one of them is called The Sensitive Black Girl. What's interesting is I still haven't found anything for sensitive black males. And it just hit me. I just realized there probably is, but we don't really advertise. Like, I'm even not even comfortable. Like, I'm still getting used to be saying, hey, I'm sensitive. We're here. I'm sensitive. Whatever. We're here. We're queer. No. Like, even I'm struggling. This is the, half of, I'm struggling acknowledging that fact. Because I spent my entire life pretending that I wasn't what I am. And today it's just not, it's one of those things I don't easily unlearn. Okay, where am I going with this? Yes. Where I'm going with this is all these folks have material out there. And I realized that, hey, maybe I might be. I can contribute because I don't see any. If there are any material for black men who are highly sensitive, I haven't found it yet. Maybe I'll just take some time, but maybe that's where I'm going. Maybe this is when I talked about my manifesto about creating a community. Maybe that's the community I was meant to create. Maybe that's where I'm going with this shit. Maybe I'm going to be the face of the high, oh God, no. Anyway, the face of the highly sensitive nigga, black guy. But what I realize is with the people who are already established, especially Elisa Boye, the mentor, and I'm looking at her material and I'm like, you figured out how to monetize kindness. I don't know if this is an insult, because that's not the intention, if that's how it'll be taken. But it's like, I see what she does, and if it wasn't for the fact that I was in therapy had a friend, finally met made friends with someone who shared another human being who I was able to, basically didn't have to hide, appreciated. Not appreciated, respected, appreciated, related to the fact that I was highly sensitive because she was highly sensitive and we just connected. It's like we were like kin. It's like, yeah, I know what it means. Yeah, man. I don't fuck the motherfucker up for, you know, I'm exaggerating. That's not how we talk. But I'm saying if it wasn't for those two aspects, I could see myself turning to the service of the Elisa Boye's Boye of the world and mentoring, because one of the things she does is make you feel seen, heard, realize that you're not alone. There's others out there. But to me, it's like, I would say like a psychiatrist monetizes kindness, because in order to be a psychiatrist or a therapist, you have to listen. People value listening. Like I'm hey, shit. The best sex workers out there. I guess it depends what you're out there, but they know that a lot of what they do is making this fucking man feel like they're the man. So listening, people undervalue the skill set to listen. So listening, that's a kind thing. Giving advice. And all that shit. But it's the idea of monetizing that shit. It's weird. It's weird. Because when you're kind, kind people don't expect payment. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Okay, this is where I'm going with this, right? I would love to one day podcast for the rest of, for podcast became my 9 to 5. I would love to be able to quit my job and say, take this job and shove it. Not that my job is bad, but it would be nice to be my own motherfucking man. Run, you know, have, I'm not the entrepreneurial type. Or maybe I am meant to be, but I don't feel like it right now. But it would be nice to be able to do this shit full time. Something that I love. And I'm wondering, maybe part of what I need to do is figure out how to monetize kindness. Monetize my kindness. I was explaining this to a friend, and it's like, you know, it's kind of like the woman who, I say woman, but the sex worker who says, yeah, man, I've been fucking dudes for free. Why don't I make money out of this shit? I'll put a pin on that shit. Sorry you use that language. I'll put a pin on it. We're back in the office. Yeah, I'm gonna get back to it, but I feel like I need to learn. You know what? Let me see what happens if I Google monetize kindness. Even though that's monetized. Hey, did I mention that it's warmer out there outside? Yeah, I didn't mention today's temperature. But I think we're into 17, and this room just got hot. Oh, the room where I'm recording, it just got warmer, and I keep looking at, come on, sir, the heater, the thermostat, because it feels like I turned it on, and I'm like, nope, this is all natural heat. Okay, how to ethically monetize kindness? Okay, I'll look into it. How to monetize kindness with staff and client. Look, this is what I'm getting at. I'm thinking of, shout out to all you kind people out there. You know who you are. Actually, the people around you know who you are. I'm talking about the kind people who don't go out and, I am a kind person. I want the world to believe. I'm not talking about the kind people who want to be perceived as kind. I'm talking about they're fucking kind. And they probably looked themselves in the mirror and said, I'm just a piece of shit or whatever. But deep down, they're actually, like, who do you think about when you think about kindness? I'm talking about that person. The people who, when you think of kindness, their face comes up. Anyways, shout out to you people. And especially those of you working shitty job, not realizing that, and this will probably go against everything you believe or currently believe, but not realizing that you could monetize that kindness. A perfect example, like a nurse. Shout out to the nurses. Shout out to the teachers, especially the kind ones. Like that's fucked up. It's fucked up that they don't make a lot of money, but in that profession, you got to be kind to do it. To do what you do, man, do you have to be kind? I imagine it's part of the job, being kindness. I'm just thinking about how I reached a point where I was thinking, you know, being kind is for suckers, especially in this cruel world. And the business of kindness. Let me get back to you on that. I, again, hadn't really developed this idea. Then again, when do I ever develop an idea on this fucking podcast? I just blurt out what's on my mind and try to make sense out of it. All right. Last two items before I forget. Okay, because I'm going keeping an eye on the time here. There's a Freaknik documentary coming out. I'm not going to play the trailer, but the link will be in the show notes. And is this a clip or I don't know if it's a clip or a trailer, but I don't know if you know, I'm going to assume you know what Freaknik is. If not, you know, Google it. I keep acting like I'm talking to white people and not just white people, but people who are oblivious, like my world and their world are completely different. Like when I go to the Freaknik, when I go to the barbershop, I say the word Freaknik, people know what the fuck I'm talking about. So I tried to Google Freaknik. Yeah, no, it's, I think it was spring break. Yeah, think of a spring break festival. No, it is a spring break festival in Atlanta for black folks. In Canada, we didn't have Freaknik, but the closest thing to Freaknik we had was Caravana. Oh, my God. It was like, think of Mecca, pilgrimage to Mecca, but instead of pilgrimage for your soul, it's for some booty, butt cheeks. Yeah. But that's not where I'm going with this, right? The clip that I watched about Freaknik, oh, shit, it's terrible, man. It's basically, it shows men being sexually harassing women and just being like, I'm watching the clip right now. One guy just lift up the skirt of some poor woman. And one dude is saying stupid shit like, well, she didn't want me to touch, she wouldn't show her ass and whatever. It's like I'm looking at these guys being shitty to women, laughing, smiling, and, you know, telling themselves that's what these bitches want and shit like that. And the first thought that came to mind was, because I was very young during the Freaknik, during the Caravana, when it happened, all these guys back then were my role models. They were the guys I looked to for how to behave around women. Yeah, this is what happens when your dad isn't into... Like, my dad probably learned everything about sex the same way I did, through friends, through the streets. And where I'm going with this is I was looking at these guys being shitty to these women, and the first thought came to mind was, these were my role models. These were the guys who taught me about everything I knew about women, your role as a man. Y'all, these were the original preachers, the original recruiters to the cult of masculinity. And one rule when it came to women is, oh man, don't be kind. Don't treat them with kindness. Don't treat them like human beings. They're just sexual. Look, watching that clip also reminded me of that moment in my life in adulthood when the things that feminists were saying about men started to make sense, started to make sense. And I found myself saying, how the fuck was I supposed to know that the instructions, the books I've been reading about women were out of date, was a late edition, was an outdated, how the fuck was I supposed to know that the programming that was downloaded into my brain was bad? And I guess you could say, well, you know, should have listened to women. But, you know, look, I'm not trying to justify. I'm not justifying being a creep, being a shitty man, a toxic man. I'm not. That's not my intention. Is this? I'm saying, and no, I'm not telling any woman that you should put up with it or be patient with it. Don't change. I'm just saying, like, if I'm talking to other fellas, my journey into being a less toxic man towards women evolved a lot of unlearning. It started with oh shit. They are right. We are being shit. Oh shit. I need to reevaluate everything I was taught at the beginning. It's like realizing that you've been using a map of Montreal to drive around Ottawa. It's like, oh shit. No wonder the street signs don't make any sense. You know what I mean? It's just, because the thing is, when you believe you know something and someone tells you you don't, you're going to give them the middle finger. You know, you're going to be defensive about that shit. Anyways. Yeah. I don't know, man. This Freaknik documentary, I don't think, based on this clip that I just watched, I don't think it's going to be a clip about the good old days. It's going to be, this is why Freaknik doesn't exist. And, yeah, man, it's, fuck. As a kid, I used to want to, you know, because I was a boy, you know, young, dumb, full of cum. Of course I wanted to go to Freaknik. But, unfortunately, I couldn't come up with a good excuse. Well, A, I couldn't get permission from my parents, or come up with the perfect lie. Mom, Dad, I'm going to a Bible study in Atlanta. I need to borrow your car for a whole week. Yeah, me and my friends. Me and the homies. Yes. The one who just got out of prison. Yeah, he's coming with us too. He needs Jesus too. What? You want to come with us? No. You're not going to. Anyways. Anyways, yeah. Never made it to Freaknik. I'm not looking forward to this documentary. I feel like it's going to be difficult to watch. But yeah. All right. Okay. Last item in news and random thoughts. This one, I think I labeled it as Asian accent. And it's by the content creator's name is, got this off TikTok. It's E-T-C-H-A-K-E-J. What is that? Etch-a-Sketch. Etch-a-Sketch. Oh, I get it. Check out the latest episode of in Shabal Podcast, Suja and Ed Choi. Okay. And here on TikTok, again, this shit's in the show notes. Ed. Oh, homie calls himself Ed. All right. Okay. And I only call this Asian accent because, well, the content will speak for itself. And yeah, let me play this and we'll take it from there. We'll end with there. Okay. Where the fuck is the clip? I'm so sorry. Shoot, might not get his in. Call this. Where is the blood clot clip? I really hope you're not Jamaican. Or your parents aren't listening to this. Okay, here we go.
That's why the accent is so offensive.
It is offensive. And it has greater effects than people know. I mean, speaking for myself personally, I was so hyper aware of the accent thing that I used to yell at my mom. Because I was scared because she didn't have that great of an English. You know what I mean? It was a bit of a struggle for her. And every time she made a mistake, I would literally make her feel stupid. I would yell at her. I would berate her in public. I would literally be like, just stop. And I would talk for her. And to this day, I made my mom feel so insecure about it that she refuses to speak in English around me.
Oh, Ed, that's so sad.
Yeah, and now it's like, now as an adult,
damn,
I feel so horrible.
I'm sorry, Ed. I know that feeling.
And it like, as much as it was my fault, it wasn't my fault. I was just a kid trying to survive. And I didn't realize that I was like affecting my mom and fucking her up so much, you know?
You couldn't have known.
And I've heard her speak English. Yes, she has an accent. Yes, it's broken. Sometimes she fucks up the order a little bit, but people clearly understand her.
But it was our own insecurities that made us feel that way.
She refuses to speak it around me because of me.
Okay, I'm going to play a, I'm going to give this one a
message.
Yeah. Especially the last part where she says it was our own insecurities that made us act that way. Look, so as you can tell, person, the dude speaking, or the two people interacting, they're Asian. And, but it's not the fact, okay, I only point out the fact that they're Asian only because I can connect, I can relate to that experience. First thing that came to mind was, after watching this clip is, yeah, man, I related to what homie said about hating my parents' accent. My parents speak three languages, Haitian Creole, French, and English. English is the last language they learn. And so, yes, they have an accent. They have a thick accent. They have a significant accent. And growing up, I hated their accent. Oh, man, I can't explain. I hated their, it was part of, I hated as much as I hated myself. It was more to, this is why you ain't shit. It was more to add to, like I had a growing up, I had a lot of self-hatred for my own self. I blame slavery, but that's another story. But I remember thinking of their accent, hating it, just hating it. With detested, is that an English word? Detested their accent. I can't remember. I don't know. I am not aware. It's possible, but I am not aware of making my parents feel shitty for their accent, but I wouldn't be surprised. I never made myself conscious of it. Like, I honestly do not have any memories of being disrespectful to my parents about it, but I do remember how much I hated their accent. And if they were to ever come up to me and say, yeah, you've been very... If they were to reveal to me, like they revealed to this man that, hey, yeah, no, we avoided speaking in English around you because you were being a fucking asshole, I wouldn't be surprised. That's the first comment I wanted to make about this video. The second one is, man, when that brother started to tear up, I remember when... Okay. Before he teared up, he explained his story, and he ends with, my mom didn't speak English around me. I was shocked. Not shocked. I was in my moment being like, damn, brother, you are sharing. You are being vulnerable. That's fucking amazing. And two, honestly, I don't think it's possible to not share, to not reveal something like that and not want to tear up. I'm not... Okay, I got my own... What's the word? Hang-ups about crying. It's a longer conversation that my therapist could probably better explain better in shorter words than I can. Of course, toxic upbringing. But it was like that moment... When that brother teared up explaining that story... It was, I'm like, you have to. Look, whatever rules we have about masculinity and crying, yeah, fuck that. That dude gets a pass. Let him. Look, I'm not saying that, he shouldn't have cried, whatever. I'm saying those tears were like, you can't explain a story like he just explained without tears. Maybe that's why I can't remember being shitty to my parents with their accent, because then I would tear up. Maybe that's why. Because that's a deep revelation, man. That's a serious revelation. Oh, look. Man, I'm saying on point, man. On fucking point. I can't add to it, man. I'm just saying... Relating to other people's experience. I'm glad he shared. I'm glad I found this clip. And I'm glad I'm sharing it with you. And I guess it's part of this too, is two things happened over the week. This weekend, I hung out with my parents. I hung out with my dad over the weekend. And then watching this made me think about it. Also, I'm watching the show. I'm on the second, third episode of Netflix series Beef. And it's most of the cast are Asian. It's good. Okay, sorry. I should mention it's fucking good. But it's not the fact that it's Asian. It's more how I'm able to connect with the characters. I don't know why it's weird. I guess it's different because, I've grown up watching TV and it's always a white cast and I've always related to their... saw my reality through theirs, or their reality through mine, whatever. Yeah, connect with that. I guess it's just, it's probably a little bit like some folks, not all of it, some folks who aren't black and watched the Black Panther movie for the first time, and not all white people, but some white people, because, some white people have this defect that they can't see themselves through the eyes of a black character. But it must have been different seeing, wait, what? A bunch of Africans saving the world? What the fuck? The faith of the human race relies on these black folks? We're fucking... It must have been... Hold on a second. Okay, I'm taking... I'm using laughter to... I think I'm trying to use laughter to fight tears here. All right, let me get back to what I was saying. It was more... This is what I'm just trying to say. I bring up Beef, but this is like a detour. But to the point I'm just trying to say is, I love this homie shared his experience, and I love the fact that I was able to relate to those experiences, even though I'm not Asian. But we do share it. We have a common experience because our parents are children of immigrants. Actually, he put that was one of the hashtags. Children of immigrants. Yeah. All us children of immigrants can relate to that shit. I think about how quickly I picked up the English language. And I just picked up the English language, the accent, the kind of accent I needed so I wouldn't get bullied, picked on by the other kids. It wasn't just the white kids. It was all of us. Like, English. Yo, you know what's fucked up? I went to a French school, and despite all of us being bilingual, we picked on each other for not properly speak English. That's how English is like a privileged, dominant language in this fucking country. I ain't trying to hear shit. Oh, sorry. Okay, I was going to start a debate about, man, fuck French. Yeah, fuck you, man. Fuck you and the Brits and the fucking queen. I'm glad she's dead. Anyway, yeah. sorry. I'm just thinking about how traumatizing it was, how important it was growing up to be able to speak English and how you were superior because you could speak English. Doesn't matter. You could speak several languages. Nah, you need to speak English and you need to speak English like them white folks on television. the white folks on television. Yeah, man. Don't be using fucking six syllable words around us. You get your ass kicked. But yeah. All right, man. Getting back to my point. Yeah, man. No. Powerful. I'm just gonna end this segment with my response to powerful. Oh my god, fuck. I knew I was gonna go over. Shit. I can't respect time for shit. All right, guys. All right, gang. It's a gang, guys. All right, gang. Fellow listeners, let's just wrap this shit up to final thoughts, and we get the fuck out of here, all right? Okay, here we go. All right. Now, you're probably wondering, hey, B-Black, why the title 069 OG Bobby Johnson? Well, if you haven't seen... Okay, first of all, if you haven't seen the movie South Central... You're likely racist or a black person who hates black people. Go fucking watch South Central with, hold on, who's in South Central? The film South Central by OG, what was it? OG Bobby, directed by Stephen Milburn, written by Stephen Milburn. Are they white? Wait, Stephen Milburn, is that a white person? That's going to suck if this is a white person. Hold on, Stephen Milburn. Whoo, thank God. Wait. Off topic here. The Wilbur Bourne was an American film director, writer who wrote, directed 8 films. That's it. He is best known for South Central, which is produced by Oliver Stone. Oh, word? Released by Warner Brothers. Yeah, he's a white boy. Wouldn't they mention that he's African American if he was black? Okay, off topic. Okay, I'll get back to you. Anderson earned a bachelor of production, American Literature. In New Mexico. Damn. All right, you know what? Off topic. All right, OG Bobby Johnson. He's the main character in the movie South Central. Now, I'm not going to give you a smart... You know, I'm just going to say South Central. Okay, read the description from Wikipedia, the first paragraph. Is a 1992 American crime drama film written and directed by Stephen Milburn Anderson. This film is an adaptation of the 1987 fictional novel, the original South Central LA, Crimson Blood by Donald Bakir, a former high school teacher in South Central Los Angeles. The film stars Glenn... Oh, my God. The movie's about... Okay, fuck it, man. Bobby Johnson, he's a gang member... And he goes OG, they come OG, like a well-respected old gangster, goes to jail. Before going to jail, he has a kid, has a baby, and goes to jail. And I think for 8 years, and then after 8 years jail, sorry, I laughed. He's rehabilitated by prison, so he becomes a better person. And his first role is to be to find his kid and be a better father to. Try to find his son and hope his son be a father to his son so his son doesn't go down the path that he went down. I really need to learn how to fucking make a summary. Seriously, man, shout out if you're still listening to me, because that means you have a lot of patience. And yeah, to listen to me, you need a lot of patience. I try to throw in a few jokes here and there to keep your attention, but yeah, I really need to learn how to summarize. Okay, I'm trying to explain why the title of this, why I chose to call this episode OG Bobby Johnson. So remember Precision Nutrition? That thing I keep talking about. I had promised myself I would have a segment, Precision Nutrition Progress, and I haven't mentioned it. Yeah, anyway, yeah, so I recently had an aha moment in Precision Nutrition, and it started with the lesson that was shared with us yesterday was about, how did it explain it? What's the word? Okay, sorry. I won't read the notes. I'm going to try to explain it in my own words, even though it's going to take a while to explain it. Hold on. He talked about... They talked about how... They explained how... You know that side of you? Okay. Shout out to every unhealthy person listening to this podcast. I'm talking to you, right? You know that part of you that's like, fuck it, man. Fuck a diet. Fuck leaving, eating right. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. I'm going to be what I want to be. The world could go suck my dick. You know, like. I used to say how that I don't diss smokers because my eating habit is probably as bad or close to as bad as or as dangerous as smokers. Like, I don't give a fuck. If it tastes good, I'm fucking eating it. And the more, and I'm eating it until my stomach taps out and says, hey, asshole, there's no fucking room. You put more food in there, and this shit will explode. You know, I eat like a pig. I'm not that bad. You know, I'm not the guy sitting at the buffet. But, yes, I'm overweight. I'm obese. High blood pressure, cholesterol. And I eat like I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? I'm living every damn day like I'm going to die. You know, I'm not a gangster, but I am a gangster when it comes to my day. I don't give a fuck. So fast forward to someone recommends Precision Nutrition because I did do the diets. I did have a gym trainer. I did have all that shit. And it's not that it, okay, no, I don't want to say, you know, fuck it. It didn't work. They didn't work. Yeah, sure. No, I did see some, there was this, I did have a gym trainer. There was a weight loss, but his system was not, what's the word? Sustainable. Look, you want to lose weight? You want to be slimmer? Sure. Fuck it. Put a vacuum in your stomach and suck out all the lipo. Get yourself some lipo. But if you want to do it the way, I guess I'll use the word the right way, the healthier way, you got to change your lifestyle. You know, we all know that, right? Now, here's the thing about changing your lifestyle. It's not that simple. There's a reason why you have these habits, why you behave the way you. Look, some of us eat food like a coping mechanism. You know, I may not be a junkie. I probably don't do crack. But fuck it, I will down a bucket of KFC. Well, not really KFC, but you know, for example, right? A bucket of fried chicken. I haven't done that lately, but my point is I eat like shit. And you try to tell me differently, I'll fuck you up. All right. So the point is, the lesson they explained is, they were trying to say, it's as if, like, basically they said something I could agree with. Yes, I could contest that I let my inner child control my eating habits. I'm not responsible about it. Fuck that. I'm responsible about my bills. Ah, fuck, taxes are due, aren't they? I'm responsible about several shit, but when it comes to my diet, y'all can suck my fucking dick, middle finger to all. It's amazing that I'm confessing this, and it just got me to realize that, yes, I let my inner child take control. And then they introduced this concept. To me, it was a new concept of, oh, that's what the lesson was about, is who's doing the parenting? Parenting, right? Now, most people, and I'm including myself, when they think of living a healthy lifestyle, They believe that being healthy means denying yourself of what you like. Suffering. Suffering, enjoying pain, no pain, no gain, enjoying pain, going to the gym even though you don't want to go to the gym. You hate that. Like, I hate the gym like I hate church, like going to a church. And don't get me started. And it's bad enough that you got motherfuckers in the gym with cameras. I fucking hate being in the gym. If I could, I would burn it down. Actually, I burned down a church before I burned down a gym. But I'm just saying I hate being in the gym. But to me, I don't know if you're familiar with diet culture, right? Yeah, fuck diet culture, man. So I hate all that shit, all that health shit. I hate every single human being that said shit. I hate my first. Come on, son. Gym class. It's question. It's guess. I can't remember the word in French either. It's question. I can't remember. Anyway, yeah. But physical. Gym class, right? I hate my first gym class. I fucking hated gym. I remember when I was in high school, grade 10 came up, and gym was like an elective. You didn't have to take it. I'm like, fuck it. The last time I took a gym class was grade 9. Yeah. I hated exercising because I was the fat kid. I have memories of playing into sports. I always played with, there was always like the asshole, super competitive type. And they hated the fact that you were on their team. So it was never fucking fun. When I think of sports, I think of being that kid that, nah, you take B-Black. All right, fine. Fuck it, I won't play. Fine, let him be the goalie. I think of humiliation. When I think of health, I think of every asshole who was like, yo, I'm just dissing you, who believed that they were motivating me to lose weight by insulting me. Yeah, you fat motherfucker. I'm only calling you a fat motherfucker so your fat ass will lose weight. You know, they believe, like, that's what I think about. Like, everything wrong in the world, I've brought it down to the word health. So what I'm saying is, every attempt I've made to be more healthy, to be healthier, I invoked the tiger dad, a very strict dad. A mean dad, just like, you know, okay, we're going to be healthy. 6 o'clock in the morning. I've done that. Went to the gym in the morning. I was able to keep that habit for a while. Then I quit. Every time I told myself, okay, I need to lose weight. I'm going back to the gym. I quit. And all of them, right? Gym trainer, I quit. Because it was not sustainable. And I started to believe that maybe I'm a bad person. Maybe I'm and all that. But this is where I'm going with all this, right? They introduced this concept of what would a cool dad look like? Not just a cool dad, the wise, cool dad. Basically, try to change the voice in your head that parents your inner child. See, at the moment, is my inner child is like the rebellious teen that's like, fuck my parents. They just got tired of being beaten, got tired of being abused, and ran away from home and say, fuck it, I'm going to do it on my own. That's why today I'm like, yeah, man, I'm eating this bucket of cake. Actually, after this podcast, I'm going to eat some junk food. Anyway, yeah. As a reward to myself. even though after this revelation, yeah, okay. Rob, the point I'm trying to make is, the last word they use is, what would the cool dad look like? And not just the cool dad, but the loving dad look like. And let me just use the exact wording they used. What would the cool dad look like? And I couldn't answer that question. I don't know. What would it, how could you adjust the voices in your head to be more accepting? Basically, how can you train yourself to adopt a healthier lifestyle? And one thing is working on being able to, like, there's no control over this at the moment, right now, as I speak to you, right? There's no control over this inner child. Right now, this inner child has convinced me, don't listen to anyone. Anyone, the next person to call you fat, fuck them up. Or they're not your friends. The next person to use the word, hey, here's an healthier option, smack them. Like, all that shit won't work for me. That's why I appreciate Lizzo. because Lizzo is pushing before anything else, before you could lose weight, before you could do anything, you got to start. That's where I'm going with this. You got to start with some self-love. Before that, before the whole being healthy and shit like that, I didn't have any self-love. If I was trying to lose weight, it's because it was to pick up chicks, or it was to get people to shut the fuck up about my weight. It wasn't because I wanted to be healthy. It wasn't because I wanted to be more efficient. I wanted to reduce the risk of heart attacks and all that shit. No, it wasn't any of that. It was because that's what the world wanted me to be. There was no self-love involved in that. So what I'm saying is, in yesterday's class, they finally introduced, they find another way to explain starting with self-love, and it's to have the cool parent. I say the cool parent, the wise, here, I'm going to use the exact wording they shared with you here. Here we go. The word they used was, I appreciate your patience, bear with me. Where is it? Help, I need, okay, the title was Help, I Need a Grown-Up. Yes, the point is, how can you invoke your inner grown-up to control your inner child? That's what the quote was all about. And the last word they used, and it said, what is one from, nope, on script, put on your wise inner dad guy hat. Yes, I kept saying, using the word cool dad, but no, he said, wise inner guy hat. Now, I grew up with a dad who was like, no fault of his own, I mean, he didn't know any better, who was authoritarian. He wasn't a tiger dad, but he was authoritarian because he didn't know any better. It's my way or the highway. Fuck it. You know what I mean? Fuck reasoning. I know what's best for you and that shit. And I ended up rebelling against that. When I think of dieting, I think of that same authoritarian parent telling me, fuck that. Okay, we're losing weight? Then, all right, you're fat ass. How can we make this experience more painful? All right, we're going to the gym 6 o'clock in the morning. And I would do it. I could discipline myself to do it. I can't do it for, but then at a certain point, my inner child is like, yo, this is bullshit. Fuck that. You're going to die anyway. Why are we trying to lose weight and all that shit? Anyway, all this to say that after that lesson about needing a grown-up, it had me thinking about, okay, A, I need to create, I need to develop this wise inner dad. And once I create him, once I've established his personality, that poor bastard is like OG Bobby Johnson. Well, Bobby Johnson after out of prison. Now he's got to tame this motherfucking kid who's been running buck wild after 8 years of neglect. This kid is like convinced that ain't. Wait till I get my money. Wrong part of the song. I meant to say, it can't tell me nothing. Excuse me? Are you saying something? See, that's what I should have. That's the poem I should have read today. Whatever. See, you saying something? Yeah, my inner child is like, you can't tell him shit. My inner child, just like in the movie, spoiler alert, has a gun pointed at an innocent bystander because Ray Ray is telling them shoot him. And he's running buck wild. He's buck wild. And this inner child, like this inner wise, this call your wise inner dad. This wise inner dad has a lot of fucking work in front of him, ahead of him, to try to calm this kid down. Cause this kid has gone life be like, nah, man, this is bullshit. You were the worst father ever. I'm taking control. It's gonna look. All I'm saying is that lesson made me realize that. What's ahead of me? What I need to do? Look, if I've never been able to lose weight, stick to a diet and all that thing, it wasn't because I was a bad person. It's because my brain developed, not my brain, but my, because it was a coping mechanism. I guess what I'm saying is I finally realized what I need to do. And that's why I appreciate about this precision nutrition thing is They're not telling you, hey, just basically they help you figure it out on your own. And I've always been that kind of person. I've never been the kind of human being that do it because we tell you to. I've been the kind of person that if you help me, if you give me the recipe, the ingredients, if you tell me this is why you need to lose weight, this is why. No, it actually even goes beyond the why. But if you could speak to me using my frequencies, then I'll do what needs to get done. And that's why the title of today's episode is called OG Bobby Johnson, is because I feel like OG, I've been feeling like when it comes to my diet, there was no grown up. There was no grown up. But after a few of rehabilitation, now he's back outside and he's trying to control, not control this kid, but try to be a parent to his child. You know what? You know what? A shorter conversation would have been like, I've been using food like drugs, like way food was my drug. And now I've found new material. You know, I might be full of shit. No, I'm kidding. I had a beautiful aha moment, right? And I'm like Bubbles, and I'm realizing that, okay, I figured out how to tackle this addiction, a better way to tackle this addiction. And that's like being OG Bobby Johnson out of prison. And I'm realizing that what I said may not make any fucking sense, but this podcast is not for you. This podcast is for everyone. It's for anyone who's seen the movie South Central or plans on watching it and being like, oh, I get it. Yes, you are like Bobby Johnson trying to control his fucking kid, trying to get control of a kid that has no reason to listen to you in the first place. There we go. Oh, my God, 1 hour and 1 minute. Fuck, this was supposed to be a short podcast, but I like to talk. I'm not going to try to do Jackie Chang's accent, but you know Jackie Chang is trying to explain to Chris Tucker's character. He's like, yeah, you like to talk. I let you talk because you love to fucking talk. And I love to talk. All right, gang, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Pod. Today's midweek episode of Shut Up Podcast. Like usual, holler at me if you want to talk to me. You can holler at me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is bblizak or Shut Up Podcast. But that's for a limited time because the way Elon Musk be acting, he's going to fuck that up. Website is shutuppodcast.com. And email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Again, go to the website to find the show notes for this episode. The links to everything that I just played, and also the RSS feed for this podcast. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, use the RSS feed, or go on Google or Apple Podcast. Yo, seriously, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening. And remember, if you have a favorite podcast out there, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.